开始的。
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here in Hawaii. Can't beat it. I don't know what's happening with the tropical depression, but we're not going to wait on it and get depressed. So much excitement here to be living here and all of those good things. And got lots of subjects, but one of the callers last week called and talked about the environmental impact statement on the rail. And I said that I would go back and look at it. And so I went back, and I'm still not completely refreshed on, but I pulled up the supplemental and the original DEIS, draft environmental impact statement, that was put out way back when, before H3, in fact, just as a bit of history. And there are some interesting comments and notes and descriptions. And the original bill, just sharing with you, $870 million was the estimated cost to build the eight point some mile track. Or train, or whatever you call it. So, anyway, I got a bunch of that information. We'll talk through that, but there's a couple of developments. You see that sharks seem to be getting back. I guess it would be getting even. And I'm waiting now for them to, you know, some shark to swim by and says, take us off the menu, and we'll stop biting you. I know, no disrespect to the victims of the, but what's happening? More people or turbid water? What is it? You know, it probably we'll see more than less. And just when the one in Kailua yesterday occurred, and then there was one about 6:30, 7 o'clock in between that time at Bravo Groin down in Waikiki. They suspect a barracuda or a shark, small shark, bit the foot of a surfer. And that surfer was, that's near the police station in Waikiki, and that surfer was transported to by EMS to a medical facility from the police station. Anyway, that's what's happening. Be safe, you know, and I guess the best thing to do if you really want to continue to swim, like myself, I think I'm going to get inoculated. There's a pretty good inoculation you can get nowadays to prevent shark bites. And all that is, you can either get a law degree or a mail order law degree, and that probably you won't have any problems. Just kidding, my friends, lawyers. But anyway, be safe out there and be careful, watch out, and sharks are present, and they will continue to be for some while. And who knows, is it speaking to the lack of food, or they're more aggressive, or what have you? And we note that in the past, we would have the state shark expert from the DLNR, Randy Hunterbrink, would be out there telling us how many teeth the shark has and what size it is, from the bite marks and the behavior, the suspicious, the nature of the bite, and whatever. But, you know, he's busy. I don't know if he's still employed, but he was also handling some other deals with child pornography that he was accused of. So, and I guess pled guilty, found guilty. I don't know the specifics, but once again, that speaks of the state's importance that they place on this. People are being bitten, and we have a guy who's laying low now on the shark bite scene. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling.
Aloha, it's Carol. This is Carolina from the costume shop.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, so what are you wearing today? You got a costume?
Well, we wear different costumes every day. I mean, we have 40,000 costumes.
So I had invited you because of it's Halloween, right?
And you're
where is your shop located?
We are located in Kaimuki at 1059 12th Avenue. It's on the corner of 12th and Harding.
Okay. And what time are you open, and what kind of deals are you going to give people? Is it going to be scary prices or?
Well, we are competitive pricing. We have amazing costumes. Our costumes win prizes. We've been on Hawaii 5-0. I did the MDA ball 1 year. We do everything. Our costumes win prizes.
Mm-hmm.
We're open 11 to 7 every single day. Those are our Halloween hours. Then we go back to being by appointment only year-round.
Okay.
We recommend to come in early and reserve your special one-of-a-kind costume.
Mm-hmm.
We've been here since 1979, so we have amazing things. We do Santa, we do Easter, we do Mardi Gras, we do all kinds of things, photo shoots.
Mm-hmm. So now a person can call you, and what is your phone number?
My cell phone is 808-721-7559, and you can go on my webpage. It's Carolina Costume Rentals. com, and I spell my name different. It's Kharolina.
Mm-hmm.
But you can look under costumes. Just Google costumes. I'll come up probably.
Now, some of the services, it's just not for Halloween. Is it you can get makeup for a special occasion, or you can... What do
I don't
you do?
Do a lot of makeup. I have a little bit to go with certain costumes. What we do is we're very specialized. We put a whole costume together for you. We have the things that you need to make your costume one of a kind and really different and, you know.
Mm-hmm. So
we have wigs. We have fangs. We have all kinds of stuff.
So you open year-round available, and you provide that service year-round.
By appointment.
By appointment. And what are you handling for Halloween? When do you suggest people come in? Your store
come
hours?
Early.
Come early?
You can reserve your costume.
Okay.
Yes.
All righty. And how about group? Do you give any special prices on group or functions or?
Well, we do have group discount if you bring in, you know, if you do like 10 or more, because we have like a coffee club card. So every time you rent something for like say $50, I mark you down, and then you get a free $50 costume at the end of that. We're also having our costume contest back,
mm-hmm.
or our contest rather. You bring in a business card and drop it in the, you know, and then you have a chance to win a free costume.
I see. Wow. Okay. Well, again, give your phone number and address, and we'll hopefully people will come in, and when they need costumes, or especially Halloween now.
Yeah, it's going to be on a Saturday night this year, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
That's big.
Big time. That means they don't have to go to work the next day.
Exactly.
Most of them are probably after having those ghoulish thoughts and ghoulish, those fun-filled moments, they're going to need to go to church, probably. But can you go to church with a hangover?
Well, some people do.
Yeah. Well, so your phone number again is in the location of the store.
721-7559, But just come on down. We are open 11 to 7. It's 1059 12th Avenue in beautiful Kaimuki.
Okay. Well, thank you. And
thank you. And you should come down, too. We'll fix you up nice.
Really? I'll
sure,
be right down.
You betcha, baby.
I'm going to put play an old show now, and I'll head down there. Charlotte, I need some help.
We're here to serve you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Aloha.
Aloha.
All righty. I do that for, you know, people want to find places like that. And it just so happened that she had contacted me. I've known her for a while and asked me, do you know anywhere they sell costumes? Or, you know, I was there at Best Buy, and somebody was talking about going in, getting Apple boxes and asking the manager if they could get some Apple boxes to dress up. And I thought, how interesting. She had just called and asked if I would give her a plug. And I thought, how appropriate. So anyway, Carolina is the name, 721-755-1059, and just 12th Avenue. So anyway, get down there if you need a costume, and they'll help you out. Anyway, back to the issues of today and yesterday and the future issues. What do you guys think about this, the manner in which the Ethics Commission handled this thing? Now, I know we're not going to go down there, and we're beyond that and above that kind of behavior. We don't protest because we're too sophisticated to be seen with a sign standing on the corner telling the government that they can't continue to stick us and rip us. So we rule that out. And we know that many of you won't write a letter because you have to sign it, and so therefore there's retribution, or they can come in and assault you, blow your house up or whatever, or fire you. And the next thing, you don't want to write a letter or call and see the mayor or tell anybody or the city council because they won't help you get your lawn cut or the median cut in your neighborhood. So the next best thing is let me hear what you got to think, or let them hear what you got to think about this issue, how the Ethics Commission will handle it. Call in, voice your opinion. I'd like to hear it because I'm basically at a loss to see such behavior. And where Colleen Hanabusa, our former congresswoman, and now I see why she is a former congresswoman, and I hope that she have that title for the rest of her life, and former state senator, all those titles, because when she stepped down, you see, and ran for senator and lost, and now she came back to represent the city council people, and then was appointed to Hart. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you out there, but if we're this silent and we don't have anything to say and we're not up in arms, then, you know, I'm thinking about starting a show on golf and cooking or something, making molasses, because it just, there's no reward when I see when they just one after the other, you see. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Mr. Cox.
Yes, sir.
About the Ethics Commission, from what I understand, the governing principles we have, the Constitution and our state statutes and the city charter, these is the accumulation of wisdom of government legislative body that have composed, especially the Constitution, principles that is self-evident. So people, human beings, can fall short, and the term I would use is sin, but like the Constitution, it's indisputable, and our statutes that we live by, the state of constitutional laws, as well as the city charter, we must abide by them, because those regulations or rules of laws help us to live in an organized, a peaceful way. So even though people can fall short of laws, or even the Bible laws, these laws keep us in check and make sure that our government runs smoothly and correctly by right principles. So we cannot give up on the rules of laws that governs us, especially public officials, because their predecessors have prepared and brought these laws together for us to govern us in a civilized, orderly way.
Mm-hmm.
So people look to people many times, but all human beings in some way and somehow gravitate away from those laws. The Ethic Commission supposed to keep everybody in check,
right,
as to how we live and how the public officials should operate in their position in government. This is all I have to say, Mr. Cock. My name is Glenn. I'm in Kakaako.
All righty.
I always like talking to you.
Well, Mahalo. Thank you. All righty. Call again, right, and thanks for calling. But, yep, you know, Glenn, the situation is, even as much as I know, or as little as I know about the Bible, and don't take it that I'm an ignorant man. Some things I choose not to get involved in and educate myself on. There are other things that I'm interested in. But having said that, even the Bible, there's a day of atonement. There's a day of reckoning. But in government, it seems, in especially in the state of Hawaii, there is no day of reckoning. They can be found guilty of an act that is so offensive to the public and to the taxpayer. And then while waiting for the outcome of and the review of the judicial review of that, they then commit another act. And to add insult to injury, then other entities then reach back and incorporate those individuals who are under suspicion or under allegations or under investigation and insert them and incorporate them into their cabinets and into their administration and key roles. So at some point, if you step out of role and look at it and say to yourself, what am I worth? Because, you know, are we going to let the newspaper write it, and we've come and we're resolved to waiting like hungry, trained Pavlov's dogs, and, you know, when the paper hit the doorstep, you rush out there and you read it and you get incensed and you get upset and the paper says it all for you, and then you go back in and start it all over again a day, and you wait until tomorrow to see what else is being revealed, and then we then go back and put those people, come voting time when we have a say in matters, we then re-vote them in, because it could get worse if we voted for the other guy. So it's that kind of craziness that presents itself, and it leaves it with it's a head scratcher. It really is, and I don't know what does it say about Hanabusa. You know, you hear them all say to you that when it comes to ethics, it is not always the actual act being unethical. And to borrow from Chuck Tato, it can be merely the appearance of unethical behavior. So Hanabusa gets named into heart. We see that she was manager of our interests in Washington for some while. We see that Hart is not managing well with the rail, and there's a lot of things that presents itself as suspect with Hart, and she allows herself to be appointed. Then she gravitates back to serving as the lawyer, which is, you can state that, well, that's her right, and truly that's her right. But again, it's also her right to make choices and images and appearance. And when the public is left holding the bag and knowing less than what they knew when they went in, and we were all thinking we were going to have a valid, and when I say we all were all, that's a misstatement. The people that I know were anxiously awaiting the results of this ethics violation and these allegations. And so you see what struck me as interesting was that Ms. Kobayashi, and I respect Ms. Kobayashi and Kobayashi, but, you know, when she stated, well, there is this black cloud over my head, our head hanging over us. Well, the black cloud might be of concern to you, but the image that you lend yourself, why don't you say, well, you know what, even it may be the most strategical approach to do anything with this ethics allegations and us taking money from the developers or the business people surrounding Hart and you know, Mills and Wheels or whatever the deal was, she could have said, you know what, this black cloud isn't there because people will just accuse me. I want to exonerate myself, and I embrace an open and transparent process. But as I understand it, is the Chuck Tata was excluded. Hanabusa went in, and you know, I know many of you scholars out there, armchair lawyers and whatever, will say, well, you know, attorney-client privileges. But at some point, you're entitled to that, and that's constitutionally, yes, it's valid. But if you standing and saying, I've been living on the cloud, then don't make the cloud bigger by participating. Just say, I believe that the people are entitled to some transparency on this issue. Now, if it violates my rights, and then say that. Then give us an explanation. But don't just stand there and whine that I've been harmed because of this black cloud. And then the people are left in the fog with understanding. Do we anticipate this to further go on? You know, and we see Donovan De La Cruz. We see Ikaika Anderson. I was doing some reviewing of the city council people, their travel records as it relate to Hart. And Ikaika Anderson, for example, has just what I've gathered, gleaned from his records, and I haven't gone through them thoroughly, some $18,000. We're rounded off to $18,000 in travel to Hart. Now, that's not travel to these National Association of County Officers or whatever, that NACO and others. We're talking about revolution and what have you. So again, I can't say it was wrong, but it doesn't seem like the Hart is consulting with the city council publicly or openly. Maybe they're doing it behind back doors that would warrant traveling to all of these places, spending all of that money just to what? Go and say, I saw how the choo-choo train rolled across the track? I don't know. That is something that really troubles me. And I think that if we are left with the understanding that this is how, when we have allegations and there are charges against city officials, state officials, government officials, and they in turn can go behind closed doors and then serve us with the outcome of the closed door session and we swallow it, then I think the game's over. I think you should be resolved to just knowing that you're nothing more than a potted plant sitting waiting for the sun to shine and somebody to come along if they desire to pour a little water on you so that you can bloom. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my call. Laws are made by the rich to grind the poor. In terms of following the laws, we're following the laws with vested interests in for the rich. In terms of the Hart board, they're all PR people. There were no and are no engineers. When you have a city council of city administration chairman come on, Kusanagi, I can't remember his name, but he represents the mayor. In terms of people's involvement in Washington, D.C., they spend council members Elefante, Manahan, Martin, De La Cruz, and someone other went. But
Cachola.
They all represent the train. They all represent Hart. Now, in terms of Connor Boosa, on February 9th, there is a long article whereby she said herself she signed the full funded grant agreement for HART and that she supports GET. And I have the latest article by her, but I don't have it in front of me. So what I'm trying to say is the people are voiceless. And I would appreciate a question if you have it. Maybe I will just say this in terms of apathy. There is apathy, and then there is pain, and then there is action. But until that happens, it seems that the people are not subjected to enough pain, even though they should be if they follow what's going on. There's evasion, postponement, secrecy, denial of means, change of names, of regulatory accepting. There is so much going on, but it's very difficult for the public to follow because they lie. They equivocate. Mm-hmm. You're not dealing with conscionable people. So if your conscience says I should, they're conscious, they are in a demagogic cocoon. Mm-hmm. And I've got hundreds of articles that support that. So please, if you have a question, I'd be happy to try to answer.
Yeah, hold on and you can join in. Hold on.
Sure.
Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling. What's your comment or question?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Good. I appreciate your show, first-time caller. I wanted to also comment on your previous self-disclosure of the frustration you have with the lack of commitment many people in our society generally and here in Hawaii demonstrate in terms of their lack of commitment for demanding democracy and positive social change in Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, I'm kind of mindful of the stages of substantial change that occurs in any society that are important to keep in mind. So the first stage that is referred to is one in which political changes are the goal of many people in order to elevate democracy and transparency in society. Then the second stage follows from the continuing corruption and deceit that people experience in good faith trying to work within the system to make changes. And as the deceit and manipulation for the self-interest of people continues, the next stage is, the second stage is to take action in similar to those that we have seen historically have resulted in positive change. And in my own life as an activist, I see Dr. Martin Luther King's strategy of nonviolence, resistance, and public demonstration of protest to be important second stage activity. So I would say this to you, Carol, that do not give up. There are those of us who get frustrated as you do. But the first stage usually is a guarantee that the government and those people reaping corrupt benefits from the government will continue to deceive people who are working within the system for positive change. Then we have to move to the second stage of nonviolent demands for change. The last point I will make is to hit that second stage, we need to have a revolution of values in society that Dr. King talked about.
Right.
Because at this point, people are so complacent with materialism and the absence of moral and spiritual integrity that we need to really look at how we can move beyond this complacency because of the material comfort that many of us, not all of us, certainly not the homeless in Hawaii, are experiencing. And I'll take your comments off the air.
All right. Well, thank you for joining and thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Richard, you got a comment on that?
Well, there is no leadership. In order to make change, first of all, you have to have education. You have to have knowledge about what's going on. And if you're deprived of that knowledge because of the vested interests in exactly what the last caller said far, far more eloquently than I have. But therefore, if you have no leadership, who is going to take the bewildered herd into some kind of constructive action? Mm-hmm. And I'm from San Francisco, and of course, Hayakawa on top of the van, the civil rights. The people in San Francisco were very, very active. They were pushed to action. They overcame apathy because there was enough pain that led to passion, that led to action. And my answer to what your last caller said is amen. He's exactly right. He's far more eloquent than I.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the, specifically in terms of the Ethics Commission, years ago I got the Garcia documents directly from the Ethics Commission, those documents that you would Exhibit A present to a judge. And I talked to Mr. Toto 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was. He said that his responsibilities are really limited because the board is the one who is responsible for making final decisions. I understand just recently, and I get this from the paper, I don't know what to believe, but I get this from the paper that he was excluded this time from an Ethics Commission meeting involving current problems. And next, over the time, I've found that the Ethics Commission is on a limited budget. They're deprived of staff. According to Mr. Toto, they have only one investigative reporter. Has that changed? I don't know. But that is what I was told.
Okay, let me... I've dealt with Chuck Toto, and I think what we end up doing is looking at individuals. The entire system of ethics department is just flawed. It's broken. It's used to pinch some and groom others. And then Toto should have been protesting. I mean, at some point, he should be informing the public. Don't have us on the evening news being shown that and uttering, well, he was excluded. Chaos. Something has to change. I mean, a budget, a man's integrity has nothing to do with the state's budget or the city's budget. It is at some point, he of all people in the highest level has an obligation. You know, if it's degraded, then at some point speak up. But don't let it happen and then we're, you know, well, he'd had nothing. But again, I believe it all done because of some of the practices that he employ and is just as questionable. And I've said that and I've demonstrated that on air here. So I just think in speaking to the listeners, in a sense that for me personally, I will never stop. But again, it is my approach. There are other things that are of greater importance that once you see someone who gravitate back to the abuse, being insulted and repeatedly, and we're not just being insulted with these acts. Then we end up paying for the entities or funding the entities to turn around and insult us. That's, I guess, the most difficult part of accepting this and letting the process take its natural course, you know, evolution into civil rights movement, and then we'll grow into a peace, and then we'll protest. That's one thing. But when you're taking another human being's money and systemically abusing that and your authority and what you're entrusted in, that's a little different because people still have some say. I'm just not seeing a rallying point. Hold on. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling.
Oh, good morning again, Mr. Conks. You know, this America is actually in the Constitution, in Article 4, Section 4, says that we are a republic first, meaning that we're governed by law. And the Hebrew word for the meaning of law is rule of action. So what I'm trying to come across with is this. I'm taking a business management course, and there's this paradigm called the triangle of harm. And what is this in reference to is when an institution or a governing body becomes corrupt, the natural process, it has to do with psychology and the inner workings of the mind. The matrix
of this leads to loss of self-esteem. And so it becomes despotic and totality. So more controls would have to be in place to stop this corruption going on, this paradigm of triangle of harm. And so what it leads to, this triangle of harm, is to Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. They gravitate to the basic drives of a human being so they can sustain themselves, their self-esteem. So what I'm trying to say is this: if the tangible evidence of not abiding by the city charter as to their responsibility, and if these public leaders, they have a conscience, it will cause them to gravitate away from what is right. That your conscience is like your compass.
Right.
Excuses you or accuses you.
I understand that, but I guess what I'm interested in is the individuals that are being impacted. I mean, how we are reacting to it. What are we doing to respond to it? How are we ingesting it and processing it? And what is the outcome? As far as the structure, those theories, and they, you are accurate. But again, I'm more concerned with these things present themselves over and over and over. So I'm asking, where is the outrage? Where is the action? Are we moving toward action? Or are we just lethargic and sitting here like sticks in the mud, hoping that someone will come and apply a new law that will fix it? You know, I don't know. But that's what I'm trying to get at as far as the theories of how politicians engage and do things. That's innate. That's, if you give someone enough room, the honest men will be like locks. You know, locks are made to keep honest people out, not to keep crooks out.
Yeah, well, can I say this, Mr. Cox? Salman Rushdie wrote a new book, the latest book, and he said, he used this word, silence is a disease. In other words, apathy. Because of apathy, there is silence.
Yeah.
Rick? Okay, Mr. Cox.
Hey, thank you. Richard, go ahead.
Please, thank you very much. Empirical evidence for me, directly what you're saying, how does this involve an individual right now? The answer is that Get went through with Lingle and Mufi. Mufi wanted 1% for the general excise tax. She gave him 0.05%, but the state takes 10% of the 0.05%. Now, recently, the state legislator had the Get tax in front of them. They extended it 5 years, of course, because they're getting 10% of the 0.05%. I'm at $20,000 a year. The general excise tax affects me very, very significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of the city charter, I went to the city charter meeting every 10 years they hold it. It's happening now. And I went there to profess for the handy van and for the against heart and so forth. Jesse Suki is the chairman of the Charter Commission. And I didn't realize that years ago, very favorably, he was for the rail. And now, in terms of what we could do, and I would like to answer many more questions, but let me just say this. This Wednesday at 9 o'clock at the City Council, there's going to be Bill number 23. I don't know, I hesitate to say this because I don't have the agenda in front of me, but I am going. I will get the agenda tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have it now. Now, on November 5th and November 9th, the 5th at Kapolei City Council meeting, and on the 9th of November at middle school, again, I don't have enough information, but I do have those dates.
Yeah.
I think this will deal with the extension by the city council. Extension by the city council of the
okay.
general excise tax.
I got that. What is that going to do to light the fire under the butts of the people? That's we're drifting over way over the line over some. theories and all of that and meetings, fine. It's going to present themselves, and we find ourselves going behind closed doors again as we travel. I'm trying to ask the basic question. What are we going to do, or where are we at in this? I'm trying to get an idea. Are we dealing with people that are as happy as, you know, pigs in slop? Are we as nervous as you know what? So I understand. I appreciate what you're saying there. But that's what I'm hoping to get here.
This is exactly what Hannah Busa said. She's repeating exactly what you just said. She's concerned about the people, what the people don't know. I'm not defending Hannah Busa.
Well, I understand that.
And I am simply trying to give you what she has actually said.
I got that, but you were telling me about the meetings, and I'm right now I'm just curious what are the listeners out there, because I hear a lot of chatter, and I'm just soliciting. What are their comments? Where are they? Are they happy? Are they happy, and did the news sufficiently deal with that issue? Is that what we deal? That's what kind of people we are now. Give us it in on the front line, a headline on the front page. That's good enough, and let's go back to business. If that's the case, and I'm trying to get for my personal self, get a full understanding. So hold on one second here.
Sure.
Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. This number, I'm going to need this number as I had. Just if you can, go ahead real quick.
No. Tell me what you need.
I told you what I need. I need you to call on the other number because.
Line. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Bye. Thank you. But anyway, Richard, you there, Richard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, for right now, Richard, let me share with you.
Please.
I went in the final environmental impact statement.
Yes.
And this was submitted way back when Abraham Lincoln was still in diapers.
Yes.
Name of the Department of Transportation Urban Mass Transit Administration. Name of action, administrative action. Description of proposed action. The proposed action is the implementation of a fixed guide rail rapid transit system supplemented by an island-wide local and express feeder bus system. The proposed system would provide improved transit service to all urbanized areas on the island of Oahu. The development of the proposed system consists of a guideway segment of 8.4 miles, hereinafter referred to as 8-mile segment, served by 11 stations from the Honolulu International Airport to the University of Hawaii Manoa campus. That's the original line, right?
Oh, boy.
The estimated daily patronage for the proposed system for 1990 and 1995 are projected to be 360,000 and 413,000, respectively. The system would traverse the downtown Honolulu area where a 1.7-mile subway segment would be located with the remainder of this guideway on elevated structures. The maintenance yard and the shop would be, right? And let me just get on down here. The estimated total capital cost for the 8-mile project is currently estimated at $870 million if construction is started in early 1983. Construction would then take place between 1983 and 1988, and certain portions of the system would be affecting the environment to a varying degree. Capital cost includes right-of-way relocation, construction, equipment procurement, transit vehicles, 84 control and surveillance systems, administration and engineering, and fund. Now, keep in mind, that's 8-point-some miles. And now we're up to $6 billion, and then we really don't really know. Hold on. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question. Thanks.
Well, that, of course, that early 80s, and then that was rejected by the city council.
But I'm reading the draft environmental impact statement. So they built on this, so you understand.
So that was their basis for what we have now.
I'm reading you the final environmental impact statement, and my question is, how do we get, there's a supplemental impact report, a statement, and on and on, the draft supplemental that you can get. And all of this is on OEQC, environmental quality. You can go and pull those things up.
Okay, well, I said it last week. When it was on the ballot, there was no question about do we want a rail. It was never on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the last time I brought that up was at a forum, and Hanabusa hasn't spoken to me since when I told her that she wasn't telling the truth, that it wasn't on the ballot. Because they keep telling us, oh, but the public voted for it. No, they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they voted for, and so they have been this Shabai all along.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get an audience with OECQC because I don't want to make a statement that's not accurate, but how the environmental statement occurred, the first one, and did they make them redo or did they just invite? I don't remember. I have notes somewhere, and I struggle to locate them that would explain this whole process from the original. And if anybody's out there that know of the process as it relates to the environmental impact statements, please, 524-1080 is the number. I had hoped to have this. Go ahead.
I know of the federal judges.
Okay, and?
Well, the impact statements, there were three of them lawsuits. One was about the bones, the tunnel, and the park down in.
Mm-hmm.
And the judges here, as many as there are, I'll say nine, they all recuse themselves because of conflict of interest.
Okay.
Therefore, it went to San Francisco in the Ninth Circuit Court. So a judge in San Francisco rendered that it was okay for the bones, the tunnel, and the park.
Yeah.
And that is like about four.
But
it,
that's the lawsuit. I think that was HonoluluTraffic.com,
yes,
and someone,
yes,
else. But I'm talking about the environmental impact statement. Hold on.
Well, that's supposedly what it was.
Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine.
My question is, don't you think that if you could get a copy of the grant proposal for over $1 billion grant for this rail system, that you would find things related to the environmental impact statement? To get that grant for over $1 billion, you got to have certain information in there. I think that would answer a lot of questions about this rail, because they don't just give you $1 billion for a grant that you don't have to pay back for the rail. I think a lot of information that may have even, in my opinion, I wonder, did that grant come first? When did that grant actually get proposed? That's a serious thing. $1 billion for free?
Yeah, you've mentioned this grant a couple times,
I'll listen off the air, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, if you are listening off the air, I've sought to get a copy. I don't know any reference or anything to a grant. To what specifically? Was it to the rail? Was it to, or so? I need to get some more specifics. But you quite often you mention this grant, suggesting that there was some fraudulent. But I first got to establish where is the grant at. 524-1080 is the number, and we're going to take a break here shortly. I'll take this one call. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment and question.
The grant is for the rail. Senator Inouye had this grant pushed through for this rail system. That's why I keep bringing it up.
I know, but what is the name of it? What was it? What period of time was it? Or
it's for the rail that's going up now.
From this which grant agency?
I don't know all that.
Oh, okay.
All I know is that he got the grant pushed through for over $1 billion for this rail. And that's serious business, and that's got information about everything on there, I would believe.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to encourage me, I don't know.
I don't know which department and all that. All I know is...
Okay, let me ask you this. I'm not trying to compete with you. I'm trying to extract some information. If this is worthwhile or valid, then let's pursue it. But, if I can't, just relax for a minute.
Can I offer this?
Well, no, just for a minute here. What, if you could collect your thoughts, when was it that you heard about this? How was
I heard,
it? Okay. How was it? And then we can start somewhere. Okay. That's the investigative process.
It was all on the internet. It was right when they started this project.
Okay.
And right after, and right before he died.
Okay.
He talked about this billion six point grant he got for the rail.
Okay.
Right when they started this project, it was out. The news was out. You don't hear nothing about it because I often wonder who keeps all that money, who draws interest on all that money, and then I think about what information is in that proposal to even get the grant.
Yeah. Well, hold that thought, guys. We're going to take a break here and come. Please feel free. Richard, you there?
Yes.
Real quick, you got take about 20.
I'm going to end by simply, it's called the Full Funding Grant Agreement. I may have it in my files. I have many articles about it. It's called the Full Funding Grant Agreement. It is for the rail.
Is it $1 billion?
Pardon me?
Is it $1 billion?
No, yes. Well, I'm not sure.
Well, okay, if you, can you check and see? Because I don't, you know.
Yes, it is. This is all true, sir.
Okay, and I'm not doubting you. You're calling up your team member and yelling and scolding him. I'm just trying to. You're trying to impart knowledge on the listeners out there, right? So let's take a deep breath and let's see if we can collect our thoughts together and do it.
Yes, sir.
That's all I'm doing. Okay, we'll be right back. Thanks for joining. 524-1080 if you have any comments or anything you want to talk about. Laura.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Okay, good morning. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, second half. We're going to go right back to the lines there. Thanks for calling. 524-1080 is the number if you have any comments or questions or we'll get back with you. Aloha, caller. Good morning. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they go back, like you said, and revisit this environmental impact, what are our choices? What happens next with this dragging that's moving down the middle of Honolulu, gobbling up all the phones?
Oh, I honestly don't know what would be next. Apparently, you know, whatever they throw to the chickens, it will be next. I don't. What I'm seeing here, anything goes. So when you ask me, I wish I could answer that for you, but I wouldn't dare to tell you to try and predict in Honolulu, Hawaii, what would be next. Because it's just the people are, anything goes.
Yeah, well, you're right. I asked at a hearing, if we stop the rail, what does that mean financially? And one of the city council people said we would have to pay back all the money that we've gotten from the feds. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Well, I don't, these kinds of questions, I don't know the conditions, if there was, there were specific agreements.
My question
I know,
is
but
them,
I'm answering.
Okay.
You asked me, it depends. I don't have the details of conditions. When you accept money from someone, there's always conditions, and there are penalties and all kinds of things that present themselves as a condition of you accepting the money. So when you say, what will it do? We would have to take each dollar that was given under what pretense or whatever it was, a condition, and then assign those conditions to that and say, well, okay, we didn't complete this project, then we have to pay it back. Or we can, it's okay, like in HUD. Here's an answer to your question, in a sense. I'm just speculating. But HUD found that the city misspent and misappropriated monies, right, for homeless and affordable homes and all, right? So what did they do? They turn around and fine them or did something, and then the city, no one paid anything. A penalty, they paid $2 million back out of $8 million, something. So when you ask what will happen, your guess is as good as mine in a town of corruption. I don't know. How do you predict what corruption, the outcome of corruption is? Because you're dealing with elements of unknown and uncertainties, you know, in the wilderness. So,
well, we have half of the city council up for re-election.
Okay, well,
and so I'm wondering, I know you don't know the answer to this, I'm wondering if anybody will challenge them in their districts. Do they run unopposed, and do they take more money from, you know, D.L. Horton and Howard Hughes, and keep the corruption going?
Well, everybody out there that goes and serves a bowl of chili to constituents on behalf of these guys that are think they're, you know, the snakes in the pit, then anybody out there that contributes to that is just as guilty, because you're aiding and abetting. And the lie has to stop somewhere. So let them serve their own chili. If you think your role isn't important, let them serve their own chili. Let them hold the door, make an appointment. Let them have their own coffee hours. Let their office structure a coffee hour and see what kind of response they'll get. Hold on. Caller, go ahead for your comments or question.
Thank you very much.
You there? You there?
Wednesday, June 20th, federal rail funds face $1 million reduction. Daniel K. Inouye, it is unfortunate my professional Republican colleagues are opposed to this. The U.S. Senator vows to restore the full funding lost in the House budget draft. So I've got to go, and I don't know the original sum of money for the full fund grant agreement. But to get the federal votes, Muthi Hanuman got both, Obama from Hawaii, Inouye from Hawaii, and that is exactly how he got some of the money to fund this.
Okay, well, we were just talking on the budget, on the funding. Here's an article that is talking about Honolulu Rail Transit, that Honolulu Rail Transit report. FTA and city signs $1.55 billion funding agreement in Honolulu Rail. The city and the Federal Transit Administration today signed historic agreement that secures $1.55 billion in federal funding for Honolulu's rail transit. Okay, and it goes on to talk about the agreement was signed during a ceremony in Washington, blah, as usual. And Senator Daniel K. Inouye, Secretary, and Jennifer Godo Sabas, and the Senator's widow, Irene Inouye, were there, and Hanabusa. So my question is, what is the corruption? What was the money? We say the grant. And if the Senator was dead when it was granted, then what is the, if the caller would call back, then what is he implying, inferring that the senator did?
He is saying that he is going to push through.
No. Let me finish my question. Let me finish my statement. Then you can't come in on something you don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying that the gentleman that called and suggesting that there is a billion-dollar grant that somehow the senator squandered, or if I'm reading it right. And so if the senator was not here when it was granted, what are the underhanded backdoor dealings with this money? What specifically? I'll read the background on it, but again, go ahead.
Well, it was supposed to be a transportation, and it wasn't. It was for mass transit for the public, and it was about TOD, Trans-Oriented Development.
Okay, so why haven't someone filed a lawsuit on that then? If it's that clear, if you and others know this, why? What happened? That no one filed a lawsuit on it?
Well, you had the different people. You had Slater, and you had Cachola.
he was on the other side.
No, I got that one in here, too, but I'll wait. Unopposed to the state legislature were Dela Cruz, Cachola, and so forth. They went on votes. In terms of the collusion or the corruption is that this, from the beginning, go back as far as you want, was never about moving many people safely and quickly. It was about trans-oriented development around the station.
Yeah.
And very, very quickly, because I got to go, Cachola got his district to vote for the rail for Mufi, and he also got his vote for the rail for Mufi. And now the rail did not go through Salt Lake, his Salt Lake. It did not go to the University of Hawaii in the north. It went to the stadium, and it went to Ala Moana. Mm-hmm. And when Cachola went to Mufi and said, Mufi, you told me the two stations were going to be in my district in Salt Lake. Mufi said, sorry, Romy, the ball is in your court now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
okay.
That's just the
beginning. All righty. Well, hopefully that shines some light. I don't know where it goes for the listeners out there, but we've had that tossed around many times. I'm trying to sort through the grant that is maybe there's something. I'm so ignorant that I don't get it. What is the inference and what is the implications that by accepting this money, there was a whole lot of crime going on. I'm not saying that it didn't happen, but I'd like to see where is it documented. And maybe
okay,
that
Mr. Cox, if you could do this in one sentence, could you say exactly what you just said to me, and I'll take notes?
No, that's okay. I'll call you, and we'll talk.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
Richard. We'll call. I'll call you this week. Caller, go
Hello?
Ahead. Yeah, good morning. Thank
okay.
you.
When my friend used to work in writing grants. She no longer lives on this island. And at the time, me and her was discussing the concept of what it would be like to get a $1 billion grant. 2 weeks after we had that conversation, all over the news was the $1 billion over grant through Senator Inouye for the transit station. Now, at the same time, they were talking about the cost of the rail. But when I heard $1 billion grant, I was like, that's free. Free money for the rail. So that stood out because the cost kept coming up. How much is it going to cost? It kept changing. The contractors, but then after he died, they said the grant went through. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know about the corruption on that. So I'm not that far into it. But all I know is that anybody that can write a proposal to get a grant for over $1 billion, I want to know the content. I want to understand how that is possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what led me to you. That's what led me to bring up the subject.
Yeah, but that is tantamount to profiling because there was a grant, and there were some politicians, so something was going wrong. Something went wrong. I'm still trying to figure out.
I never said nothing went wrong. That's not what I never said. to that.
I need to get the grant, and the grant would enlighten us all and show us where the real corruption is. And
it probably will.
Well, yeah, but see, the thing is, we don't profile on this show. I mean, I thought you had some specifics where you knew there was a grant. I mean, and I'm not.
I never associated to corruption. I only associated.
You said what happened
the
to the money? What happened
to the fact that somebody got a grant for over $1 billion? That means a free grant, not a loan, and it happened to be Senator Inouye.
Yeah, well,
all I was saying, he was able to do it.
Let's just
say
judicial notice that a grant is money you don't pay back, right?
That's right, but, and I find that very interesting that the senator could get a grant for over $1 billion for the rail. That's deep.
I'm sure you could look and find other grants higher than that.
Home.
But again, I understand what you're suggesting, and that the question would be, well, if that you had that, then why are we asking for more? What was offered if we got a grant, justification to get the grant, said that we'll hold the price down for the average taxpayer, and this is why we need this, and it would offset. I could see that, and then they failed to meet those conditions. Now we're up at $6 billion and going to tax the taxpayer for more than that. I understand something like that, but just because someone got a grant, and you know that by definition, a grant is free money.
Free money.
So, therefore, there they go. There are three black guys in the car. They must be doing something wrong. You see, I mean, I'm sorry to be, and I don't take it as if I'm taking issue with you.
I'm not.
You know, we're
discussing.
No. I'm just trying to say to you that, to illustrate, but don't take it personal. But profiling, just because politicians, you know, it's like anything. You see a couple of politicians together, they must be doing something wrong. Well, we can't go that route. You know, it's just not good. But if we know that the cost is going up, we're not getting in the rail, they're lying, it's going to cost us more and more and more, and this grant had something to do with that. And if we can show that the money went somewhere else, you know, or to buy properties to speculate. Who knows? If maybe it warrants looking at. I'll do some reading, but I do have that grant, and I was looking for a grant that was specifically to the senator in his office for something. But this one here, every politician on the tree branch had chimed in on this one.
I'm just wondering also how many pages is it. I'm wondering, did he write it? I'm wondering a lot of things because I know about grants, right? But when I never knew that you get $1 billion grants in this world.
Well, now
I had no knowledge of that.
I'll make a deal with you. I'll make a deal with you. If you give me a little time to figure out if he wrote the letter saying we should vote for Hanabusa to get the Senate position, once I get that one, you know, some satisfactory answers, then I'll start working on this other one. You know, when he was on his deathbed, supposedly, he wrote a letter that saying Hanabusa should get the. So let me figure that one out first, because if he wrote the grant, I don't have the forensics, but we'll get one other thing.
You play really, really good music. I want to make that clear. Your music that you play in intermissions is fantastic.
Well, it's for us all.
I love it.
All right, brother. Well, thank you.
All right.
I love it.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Caller, good morning. Thank you for waiting. You have a comment, a question? Okay. Well, 524-1080 if you want to call in. But, again, understand, I'm not taking issue with anyone on what you say. It's your prerogative. But for me, throwing out something like that is like throwing a piece of meat to a hungry dog. I just love to try and find out what if there was something underhanded or something. It's not to say it was, but, you know. But this thing with the grant, and I was looking at the draft supplemental impact statement, and that was signed on May 28th, 2013. And it goes into, and I'm going to try and post these up. Again, you can find them at OEQC. Office of Environmental Quality Control. And you can go there with the state agency and pull these up and read them yourself. It makes for an interesting reading how this entire rail thing has morphed, and it may give some explanation for you without having all the comments from other people, or you can read for yourself. And I'll post it at carolcox.com as well. These are the draft environmental impact statements all the way back in the final and the supplemental. They're on state website. Thank you, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
I'm sorry, I lost you.
Okay.
No, I was just saying about the fact that at the time that this thing started, the grant started, not when it was finally issued, but there was talk among all of the Congress about high-speed rail across the U.S., and so this was just a piece of that. Now, I can't speak for any of the collusion, because we know it was, just by nature of how people vote in the Congress. So if I give you this, will you give me that kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You remember the Bridge to Nowhere was Inouye's friend in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
How they, you know, that, but that's, you know, that's the way they work.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, I agree. But, you know, again, anyway, the point was that I was trying to share, the gentleman had called and asked about the environmental impact statements, and I'm reading in 1982, Eileen Anderson, this is the one, and I didn't want to just start it in 2000. I figured we'd go back and pull up the entire thing. Eileen Anderson was the mayor at the time, and some of the things that she, in turn, the city wrote in the 1982 final environmental impact state. There are no known unresolved issues at this time. However, there is always the potential for issues to arise during the final engineering and construction of the project. In such cases, a regulating agency or authority will be consulted. Now, there's also property like 4F. Did you know if this comes in the, you'll find this in the draft supplemental environmental impact statement. We're just talking about 4F properties, parks and whatever. If this were to substantially impact properties of parks or deviate, then there should be some kind of change, or the project would be affected. They were talking about just one section here. Let me see. Prudent and feasible avoidance alternatives. You know, so you give... we're going to do this, and here are the alternatives. If an alternative would use a Section 4F resources and the use is not de minimis, FTA can approve that alternative only by determining that there is no prudent and feasible avoidance alternative, and the project includes all possible planning to minimize harm resulting from the use. A de minimis impact is one that, after taking into account any measures to minimize harm, such as avoiding minimization, mitigation, and enhancement measures, results in a Section 106 finding of no adverse effect on the historic properties affected on the historic property, or a determination that the project would not adversely affect the activities, features, or attributes qualifying a park, recreation area, or refuge. Refuge protection on the Section 4F. Now, I told you folks about the stadium, and there are some very serious issues there where they're taking some parking lot. It's a recreation area. Does that constitute a violation or a non-compliant act with 4F? You know, an avoidance alternative is one that completely avoids the use of Section 4F per section. But I go on, in a feasible and prudent avoidance alternative avoids using Section 4F property and does not cause other severe problems of magnitude that substantially outweighs the importance of protecting Section 4F property. In assessing the importance of protecting the Section 4F property, it is appropriate to consider the relative value of the resource to the preservation purpose and statute. And alternative number two is not feasible if it cannot be built as a matter of sound engineering judgment. And alternative is not prudent if it comprises the project to a degree that it is unreasonable to proceed with the project in light of stated purpose and need. It results in unacceptable safety or operational problems. After reasonable mitigation, it still causes severe social, economic, and environmental impacts. So does this, now this isn't 4F, but Kamehameha Highway and other places that people have suffered financially, is there sections that protect, or will this section apply? I don't know. I'm just reading the draft. Severe disruption to established communities. Now, is there any community along the way, Waipahu and others, have they been severely impacted? Severe disproportionate impacts to minority or low-income populations, or severe impacts to environmental resources protected under the federal statutes. It results in additional construction maintenance or operational costs of an extraordinary magnitude. That's item four. Again, it results in additional construction, maintenance, or operational costs of an extraordinary magnitude. Five, it causes other unique problems or unusual factors. It involves factors of paragraph. But anyway, that's what this draft supplemental environmental impact statement, section 4F evaluation. Now, again, the definition of 4F properties, I don't know if Kamehameha schools, but I would think that it's if it has financial impacts and that unforeseen and that were overlooked, as we've seen a number of businesses have gone out of business, maybe the project can be still challenged. I don't know. But that was just one of many, the environmental impact statement. And I'll discuss more later, but there's quite a bit of things that were going on there. But that's about it. 524-1080 is the number if you care to chime in and have any comments. But that was about as much as I was going to do on the rail, because I'll do some more reading and try and see if there are actual sections in the environmental impact statement. I know it has a social economic impact concerns section, and I'm going to try and read that and avoiding 4F, applying 4F to it, and see if there are other, and maybe it constitutes a deviation from the environmental impact report, or what it sought to look at. And environmental impact statements are not designed to stop things. It's you make an assessment to try and prevent or mitigate. That's what it is. Some people think that an environmental impact statement is going to stop something, and that's not having nothing to do with it. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I just remembered one other thing. I wonder, in that grant proposal, before it could be issued, there must have been stipulations even on that grant. As I was listening, I said, because, you know, there's consequences, and if you don't meet certain criterion, then maybe even that's in that proposal, or, you know, that whole grant thing,
mm-hmm.
I think it's going to reveal a lot of things, both sides,
mm-hmm.
to get the grant, what if something goes wrong, the environmental. I'm wondering who wrote the grant for real. What agency, as you said, what agency is it under? I wonder all that stuff, too, but I had to call you one more time and say, what grants have rules, too, right?
Yeah.
Especially at over $1 billion, it's going to have to be some type of, well, if you don't do this, your grant can be revoked, I would think, unless he just figured out how to get them, just to give him the money and end the story. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, anyway, that's that on the rail, and I wanted to share with you, for my listeners out there in Waianae, and we're going to talk about more rail, but I'm going to sit down and read. There's about 700 pages of documents that I'm going to sit down, read, take notes in the coming week, and it might be something in there. Who knows that we can share with someone that's have concerns and have money and have the time or the interest to stop this. But personally, I believe they should stop the rail immediately. Just be done with it. I know you look and see that, well, they've put so much work in it. And the reality is, they haven't gone that far that they can't stop. Because what is the real cost later on? And this thing with the feeder buses, I mean, there was one thing I printed off where it was talking about how many buses would be needed in the earlier stages, that 400 buses would have been necessary to handle that matter. So I was just thinking, my goodness, with the now 20 miles, and then really how many would we need, how many buses would we need then? So it was really, in the early one, the bus systems improvement 3-5, several major bus systems improvements were discussed in the EIS, increasing the fleet of 400 vehicles this year, plus improvements such as reserve lane bus service on major highways and parks and park and ride facilities in the suburbs can dramatically alter the provision of the transportation service. One of the disadvantages of the TSM expanded bus alternative discussed in the EIS was that the system utilized existing roadways in the with no grade separated facilities and would reduce available roadway capacity for remaining automobiles. Reduction of roadway capacity should not be perceived solely as a disadvantage of the TSM. But anyway, these are the things, and now, that was an 8 mile. This is a 20-some mile. It was a change of route. But the same factors to get people to ride it, you're going to have buses. And so will Mililani be forced to take the rail? Because I believe what's going to have, what's coming next is part. They're going to find some way to burden you, the taxpayer, with spending a toll to travel the roads. When this whole thing, this snake reveals itself completely, I think economically you're going to see some things that's going to change many lives. And, so you're either going to ride the bus or the train, take a bus from Mililani there to the train station, or you're going to drive your car. You drive your car, I suspect, in the workings, they're going to be taxing you a toll. I don't have any proof of that, and I just got through telling the other guy I don't want to be speculating. But when you're looking at the earlier one, and they're saying they need 400 vehicles, buses, to new buses to add to that system to accommodate the 8 mile system that has been reconfigured now in the 20 miles. So you go figure, and when you figure it out, give me a call back, and because I'm lost, but I don't have any real interest, no children nor anything, and so for me, I just can't imagine. The silence is so deafening in this town from the people that are being affected that it's like we should call one another now Mr. Numb, just Numb one, numb two, or whatever, because it's going to get you. You can hide your heads and play ostrich if you want to. But my advice to you, I would get involved and start asking questions. And when you pull that curtain behind you and you getting that little vote, you better start thinking, because that's where your power still lies, in that vote, in that pencil. So, anyway, there's something I want to talk about on the out in Waianae. Okay, I'm gonna let's call a good morning. Thank you for calling.
Very quickly, real property tax number 2. The handy van does not have enough vans. Thank you very much, Mr. Cuff.
Okay, thank you. having problems with this Lyle beep, so we'll work that out. But anyway, guys, there's out in Miley, there is a transitional home for the homeless built out there, and it's an, some of you may know the area. It's the old Coast Guard Voice of America site. And there's some serious concerns. We don't hear about this. We talk about Pearl Harbor, and I guess this is can be described as a continuation of my efforts to identify. You know, we say that the military pollutes and what have you, but we say some come to the defense immediately. Well, you know, they are doing such good in a free country and all. Well, I agree, and I'll go and volunteer again to join the army if I felt that this country was threatened in a fashion that a real threat. But for right now, we have a right to ask questions and expect better services and better stewards of the land. But this site, Voice of America, it's the former Voice of America site is located in Miley on the western side of the island of Oahu. The tax map key is 87010, parcel 7. The former VOA site, and that's the Voice of America site, has an area approximately 89 acres and is located southeast of the intersection of Kula'aupuni Street and Miley Channel. A 5-acre portion of the former VOA site is currently leased by the state of Hawaii and has been developed for transitional housing. The remainder of the former VOA site is 84 acres project site, which is subject to of this report. The project site is currently vacant and is bounded by Kula'aupuni Street to the west and northern portion of Miley Channel, formerly Holt Road, to the north, a vacant property to the east. But, guys, this place is so polluted, and when I say polluted, we're talking polluted. The upper aquifer basin, where fresh water is in contact with the seawater and unconfined, where the water table is the upper surface of the aquifer sediment, right? Salinity that gives that. But there is PCBs in large numbers that really is off the chart. There is debris and mounds just loaded with materials. The GSA retained MACTEC to complete a phase one ESA of the remaining 84 acres of the former VOA site. Debris and remnants of former transmitter buildings were observed on site. Other wood, metal, abandoned cars, household appliances, and concrete debris were strewn. The buildings were constructed in 1948, therefore asbestos-containing materials, ACM, lead-based paint, and polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs, and mercury-containing electrical equipment may be present in the debris. And they, not just maybe, it is. And on the soil, on the site where the state has cited this, it's massive, massive. Building materials debris, including white faded vinyl floor tile, silver coat paint on corrugated panels, and gray corrugated panels were found to contain asbestos. Approximately 500 square feet of each material was detected. The materials were observed in the debris scattered throughout the former building. This is a sad set of circumstances. This site is not even on the National Pollution Site list of priorities. This site is absolutely, it's unbelievable that it, and it's, the children can ride their motorcycles and the public can have access to it just as easy as you walking into Target to shop. It is something that I couldn't believe Two surface oil samples were collected and analyzed for PCBs. Sample locations were selected based on information obtained from photographs of the transmitter buildings area that showed the presence of former gasoline pumps and perhaps a former generator of machinery that was stored under the covered shelter. The results indicated the presence of PCB aerochlor 1260 at concentrations of 3,200 and 2.61 milligrams per kilogram. These results exceeded EPA Region 9 preliminary remediation for residential use. Now, that's key now. Residential, not industrial, but residential. Children will be there, pregnant women, developing kids and growing kids. And this is what we found there. Two surface soil samples were collected, analyzed for PCB. Sample locations were selected based on information obtained from the photographs. And the results indicated that all of this was present. Three surface soil samples were collected from former building. And again, some of them did not exceed the numbers, but it is off the chart. And it's just, they just had a fenced area there. And so what about the dust in this transitional housing? What about all of that material? And during a site reconnaissance prior to sampling, United States Coast Guard personnel found a capacitor in a mound just to the north of the transmitter building. The mound was suspected to potentially contain building debris and was not evident in aerial photographs taken in 1986. Prior to the building demolition in 1989, a sample from the capacitor resulted in the detection of PCB 1254 at a concentration of 410,000 milligrams per kilogram. That's way off the charts, ladies and gentlemen. And to just bury a capacitor, this is what the Coast Guard did, just pulled dirt, piled dirt on top of it and left it. And it's been there since 1989, just breathing. And there are homes surrounding that. And then there's water, and there's rain, and there's runoff, and then there's a channel there, and all of this leaches in. Who in their good conscience, with any respect for anybody, other human beings, and I don't care if the Russians are coming or the Chinese are coming or their enemies from outer space, we should not be able to read, pick up a paper and read that the United States Coast Guard or the United States Navy or the Army or the Air Force or the Marines operate in a fashion that it exposes all of us to a danger or a health risk from here to eternity. Why? And to bury a transformer or a capacitor and let it leak, just put dirt on top of it? Folks, this Voice of America site is probably one of the worst. And the anomaly identified during the GPR survey was confirmed to be a 500-gallon UST. The UST was removed and disposed. No evidence of holes in the tank. But again, grease and organic compounds, TPH, were found in the ground, right? It is on a surface investigation was completed, which consisted of sampling of four-step out locations, one in each direction, at a distance of approximately 5 feet. I'm reading this to you because this is scary. This is like, you know, stepping off into some polluted cesspool. But believe it or not, it's the backyard in Miley. And that a lot of that is coral substrate there, and so it's very porous, and the water migrates through there, and you can evidence of that is if you go to Pacific Aggregate or Spear LLC, where they have a coral that mines sand, and you can see the groundwater right there. And it's why we haven't heard any major. Why is it not on the priority list? Why aren't we seeing more stringent measures to handle this or address this? A surface investigation was completed, which consisted of sampling of four out of location, one in each direction, it says, 5 feet from two original sampling locations and where PCBs were previously detected. Samples were collected at the surface and at a depth of approximately 2 feet. Additionally, two of the borings, downgrading borings, at each PCB sampling site. PCB was detected in all 16 soil samples. 13 of the soil samples exceeded EPA Region 9 PRG for PCBs for residential use, 0.22 milligrams published at that time. PCBs were also detected in one of the groundwater samples at a concentration of 2.36 micrograms per liter, which is above EPA primary drinking water standards. It should be noted that the sampling location, GSAS, SAMP PCB2, is shown to be located to the north of the transmitter building in supplemental phase one. But anyway, folks, this is unbelievable. We should never, never. And again, why is it over there? Well, it's in Waianae. It's on the west side. People of color, low income, native people. Is it right? Now, your listeners out there will go, there you go again. Well, I will say there go again anytime. PCB is PCB. If you got to breathe it, eat it, drink it, sleep it, brush it off your windowsills, then something's wrong with that picture. And this is the hands of the government, the United States government. So when we say we're going to give back land to the native Hawaiians, who would ever known? You haven't heard the state come out and say anything about it. We're never going to live there. We make enough money on our salaries. We're milking the people. Let's just build a, we got to get some transitional housing, right? So to accomplish, to reduce and give people a home, you site transitional housing on contaminated areas. And then the surrounding area is so hot that the eddy effect and the wind and the rain and all of that having a direct impact on them, and they're breathing and eating it and getting sick. And then they have to go to the doctor, and then we hear the people who's in power or concerned or got money. See, we're spending too much money on these people. Look at them. They're going to the doctor and driving up doctor bills. Well, if you're putting them in a contaminated site, wouldn't it be right to at least give them an aspirin after you've poisoned them to death? I'm just saying, folks, because this is scary. I've seen a lot of sites, and I've seen things here that is absolutely scary. This one takes it all. We know about the chlordane and Dildrin and Aldrin on Hickam Air Force Base and Cuneo Marine Base and Schofield and the asbestos and what have you. But I've never known to be in these concentrations and to leave it just sitting open and inviting their children that go through there on motorcycles and bicycles and hiking. And I have pictures where we've gone through, and there's old barrels where they used to wash barrels and what have you. I don't see anything mentioning in that. Mercury was detected at concentrations of 0.12 milligrams per liter, approximately five times higher than the HDOH gal of, right? Selenium was detected in concentrations three times higher than the HDOH gal. Barium and arsenic were detected below, of course, respectively, but arsenic is in high levels. Toluene was low. So, due to the nature and extent of PCB-containing electrical equipment utilized and disposed at the transmitter facility, PCBs and other related contaminations in the soil and groundwater are considered to be potential hazardous waste concerns at the project site. The remnants of demolished buildings remaining on the site have been confirmed to contain asbestos-containing materials and lead-based paint. And ladies and gentlemen, we were able to clear this. I got good news for you. We were able to clear the sidewalks of the homeless, and they're no longer urinating in that area. We just built bedrooms for them, and now they sleep and eat and breathe it. Maybe that'll be one way of getting rid of the homeless, I guess. Maybe it's a theory, huh? Rather morbid, but apparently, whether they intend to do it or not, this is really, it's heart-wrenching. And I've been to a lot of sites, and I've been to them where you stand back, you don't dare want to go. But in this one, there's communities, and it sits up at a high elevation, and the tidal influence underground, and the groundwater is evident and clear, and they've sampled it. And then the air, and then the rain, and when the rain hits the dust, what we have here is that community, I don't know what kind of cancers they are receiving or showing up or what kind of illnesses, but at Miley, at this site, that transitional home, I believe that there should be an immediate monitoring of the children and the people that live there and that have lived there and moved, because there are some serious implications here of medical concerns and illnesses. So the assessment has revealed that the presence of soil and groundwater contamination related to the former VOA transmitter facility outside of the 5-acre portion of the project site currently leased by the state. Past sampling has focused on the identification of contaminants within the transmitter building area. However, the sampling has not delineated the lateral and vertical extent of contaminants in the soil or groundwater at transmitter building area, nor has it evaluated the contamination outside of the transmitter building's area. The 84-acre project site, including the mound burn, should be further evaluated. So what that's saying, in a nutshell, is this. We put a fence, a chain link fence, at the edge of the housing. We hadn't done any samplings to see how much of this migrated. We didn't do any. We just said, go ahead and build. And the state and the city, whoever it is that is responsible for those housing, should be arrested. And there should be, and I'm going to file a request with the EPA and asking for a immediate evaluation of that and monitoring and sampling of the children, because this one is scary, folks. Well, they didn't even bother. They know that this massive mountain of contaminants and PCBs and arsenics and mercury, and then they build homes in it for little children, and they put playgrounds, and they let them sleep, eat, and grow up there, and didn't bother to sample the contents to determine the impacts. We got some serious problem here. If you think rail is a problem, is $6 billion, I say we're bankrupt in ethics and concern for the fellow human beings. There's something. There's a great disconnect. And so meanwhile, while my potted plant friends who sit and wait for the water to be delivered and poured and the sunlight to come up, hopefully the sun comes up for you, because while we're being silent, and I'm not chastising you, I'm just saying it's Halloween, but the Halloween is year-round for some people. There are some scary monsters in the soil. So when the little children are out playing and breathing it and eating it, you only have to face the trick-or-treaters for the next couple of days. These children and these families are going to have to live it for the rest of their life. And shame on the state, and shame on the federal government, and shame on the military for claiming that they are protecting and voice of America. But this voice for these people have been silenced. So we need to graduate. We need to elevate ourselves, come back to center stage and say that it's okay to care for people. It's okay to do what's right by them. It's okay. And, you know, we can go to the meetings and see who said what and see the newspaper. But this is a living disaster, one that's taking place right now, the Love Canal that is in motion. And I suspect if no one speaks out, they will build more transitional housing to avoid the massive dollar amount in the cleanup, which most of it cannot be cleaned up because you can't mitigate and you can't dig down that deep. And so we're just successfully paving the way for contaminations. And thank you for joining me, and we'll talk to you next week. Again, carolcox.com. You can pick up our show anytime, podcast, and we'll see you next week. Aloha.
Show heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.